We're nearly 1 month into the new year. Amazing. But as you face this year, what is important to you? The first important thing I'm going to do is replace the clock so that I know what time it is. I just noticed that clock is not there. So that clock will go back so that I won't preach too long. To students, maybe doing well at school. To university students, maybe to get that degree that they always wanted. To sports fanatic, maybe it's Queensland's term to win the state of origin. Or your local team to win a grand final. But when we talk about the church, what is important in relation to ourselves and the church? I don't know whether you have ever noticed that printed on the back of our bulletin sheet every week is our vision or our purpose as a church. A lot of people these days say that you don't need that sort of stuff, but it's important to know where we're going as a church. So I'll leave that for you to read. Let's come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the privilege it is that we can come to worship you and to serve you. And we pray, God, that as we meditate upon your word, that you would pour out your spirit upon us that we might know and hear your word and that we might be strengthened by it for the gospel's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just to give you a background, Corinth was a major city in the known world. It had two major highways going to it. It had two seaports. It was the centre of development, commerce, sporting, military, and the seat of power for that region. The city was diverse. It had Greeks and Jews, Indians, and everybody from almost the known world was in Corinth. It also had the same thing that most cities have, a real moral problem, a city that did not know God, a city that with its own ideological understandings, depending on what group that you came from. And here in this city, the city of commerce, was a small church of Corinth, which Paul created, planted. And if you read the first two verses in Corinthians chapter 1, Paul establishes his authority. I, an apostle of Jesus Christ, at the will of God. He was not elected by other apostles. He was ordained by Christ to be an apostle to the Gentiles. So he establishes his authority. And then he goes on to talk about how the church, he thanks God for their spiritual wisdom. And notice what it says. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Did not lack anything. But what they did lack was the importance of the message of the gospel. Because it goes on to say that I appeal to you, brothers, that you agree with one another. Some say I follow Apollos, others say Caiaphas, another says I follow Christ. I follow Paul. Paul says, is Christ divided? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? The sense is that it doesn't matter who they are following. The emphasis of their ministry is not on the gospel, but on their own theology. It goes on to say, Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but Paul says, I preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. They sat around all day arguing theological points. Now, that's not to say there's something wrong there. What is wrong is the emphasis is on theological understanding and sitting around talking about it. Even Paul says, I follow Christ. You think, well, that's good. In essence, what Paul is saying, that's even wrong. Because the emphasis is not on the gospel message, the emphasis is on theology. And let me tell you right now, I believe in strong theology. The church believes in strong theology. The supreme standard of our church is the gospel, is the Bible for faith and practice. Supreme standard of the church. The subordinate standard is the Westminster Confession of Faith read in the light of the Declarative Statement. It is a document that helps us understand how we interpret Scripture, not how we can be divided, not how we can say, oh, you believe in this, but I don't, so therefore that we're going to have problems. That's not what it's there for. It's there that we would get together. That's what Bible studies are all about. That's why we come to church. That's why we have gatherings, so that we can talk to each other about our beliefs and about what the Scripture is saying, but it is not there for division. It never has been. And unfortunately, sometimes we get into that practice of saying, because you believe not what I believe, we're going to have problems. And Paul is saying to them, the emphasis is not on theology. Theology is there to help us so that we can be ready to preach the gospel. Paul tells the Philippians that you be prepared to give an account of the faith that is within you. We can't do that unless we understand Holy Scripture. We can't do that unless we gather together in worship and praise. We can't do that unless we gather together in Bible studies so that we can grow together in the knowledge of God, that we might be prepared for the gospel. And that was the problem with the church at Corinth. And notice what he says, the church of God. The church is not just a building. What Paul is talking about is the gathering of people in one common faith for the purpose of worship and edifying one another. And they didn't do that. They didn't see any necessity to do it. I mean, Jews demand signs. All through the generations of the Jewish nation, God was there performing miracles. God was there showing his power to the Jewish nation. And yet, they didn't believe. The first sign of trouble. Greeks seek wisdom as if you can have a relationship with our God through philosophy, through understanding or trying to understand the words of Scripture. It is a personal human relationship. That's the gospel. And yet the church at Corinth, and even the church today, seems to think that it needs to be a part of this world and put on the things of this world so that we can breach them. That's not the case. Yeah, sure. How we do church is important because it has to be relevant to the people we're reaching. The Church of God was there for one purpose and one purpose only. That is to change the world and change its direction. And that can only come about if the church's emphasis is not placed on anything else save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The gospel message. That's what changes people's lives. Nothing else. The gospel message changed people's lives. And it's not, and Paul goes on to talk about, it's not through the wisdom of the world. Let me read a few more verses. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence and intellect of will be frustrated. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its own wisdom did not know him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. Jews demand miracles and signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach crucified Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. That's the message. They did not understand. Their emphasis was on the wrong place. The emphasis was not on the gospel. The emphasis was not on loving people to share that gospel. The emphasis is not on the power of the Spirit to so endow them that they may speak the gospel message. We do not change people's lives. The church does not change people's lives. The proclamations of the church do not change people's lives. The church sitting here does not change people's lives. Any type of ministry, whether it be in schools or hospitals or prisons or out in the world, do not change people's lives just for being there. People's lives get changed when we are the instruments of the gospel message, through the power of the Spirit. That's the purpose of the church. God, in his sovereign will, decided to send Jesus to the cross. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He gave us the Spirit of God for one reason only, that his church may be the instruments of his message, that the church and its people may be the messenger of the message of God, the saving message of God. Paul goes on to say in the second chapter that he did not come. This message we are preaching is not with wise or persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So that your faith might not rest in men's wisdom, but in the power of God. The Spirit through us changes people's lives. The Spirit through his church changes society's direction, one by one. So the importance of the gospel is the existence of the church. The outworking of the gospel is the outworking of the people of God. How we react, how we treat one another, how we treat outsiders. We are all sinners in the sight of God. The difference is we're saved. And the appointment of the church is that so we have that message of salvation, of truth, of love, of grace, to share with our friends and the community around about us. So when it comes to the church at Corinth, the emphasis was on not the right thing. And that was what Paul was talking about all through his book. The emphasis should be on the gospel message that changed people's lives. The Bible tells us, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. So that's what the gospel message is about. We continue every day as we grow in faith. Everything becomes new. Our whole attitude has changed. We are working on how we do things. And the only way we can change and continue to be changed is through the power of the Spirit of God as we study his word and as we seek to serve him in the spreading of the gospel message. Even to the extent the whole of creation is yearning. If you read Romans. The world has fallen. All that God has created is damaged. But through the power of the cross of Christ and through the theology of the gospel message and how we do church can change people's lives one by one. One by one. And this is what the emphasis of Paul is to the church at Corinth. Sure, have your theological talks, but to the extent that it may be used to empower you through the Spirit in the gospel and nothing else. The cross of Christ is not just merely an event in history, but it is the totality of Christian experience. Living it is the centre of our life always. The cross of Christ changes people's lives and continues to change people's lives. The message of the gospel will be preached. And the real question we need to ask ourselves as individuals and as a church, do we want to be a part of the Great Commission that Christ gave to his church? Do we want to be a part of seeing people won to the risen Christ? Do we want to be a part of life-saving and seeing God work in a real way through the lives and changing lives of people in the community which we serve? Do we want to be a beacon of light on a hill? Or do we want to be sitting here in our own comfortable way, doing the things that pleases us as a church? The gospel message will be preached. God has said it. God has decreed it. Calvary happened. The ascension happened. The gift of the Holy Spirit happened. For the purposes of the preaching of the gospel message, the prime importance of the gospel message, everything we do as a church and as individuals is centered on the cross. Is centered on the cross. It is the only thing that changes people's lives. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and nothing else. Nothing else. We can have all the gimmicks we want. We can do all the things we want to do in relation to getting people within the bounds of this church. But if it is not centered on the gospel message, empowered by the people of God to share that gospel message, to see people's lives change, then really we are wasting our time. And we are no threat. We are no threat to the devil and his ways. We are no threat. Paul said to the church at Corinth, and I say to you, I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ, save Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Let's pray. Great God and eternal Father, we thank you for the message of the gospel. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son. We thank you, Father, for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your word that brings us truth, enlightenment, empowerment. And we pray, O Father, that we as individuals and as a church may see a great opportunity in serving you in a real and a wonderful way. Give us a yearning, O Father, to see people won to you, not through anything we have done, but through the power of your wisdom and words and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit, O God, upon us, that we might know you and serve you in a real in a wonderful way, that we may see you at work in a mighty way. And this we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand as we close.